Hey, Daily Dosers, it's Pastor Larry here, and this week we're going to take a look at what it means to thrive in Babylon, and it's going to come out of the Old Testament book of Daniel. A number of years ago, I wrote a book called Thriving in Babylon, and it was a look at the life of this man named Daniel, who found himself against his wishes all the way over in Babylon, taken there as a captive in an incredibly, incredibly godless environment. And Daniel didn't just survive there. If you know his story, he actually thrived. And so I thought a number of years ago, it would be a good idea to take a look at this book and see what are the keys, what are the secrets that allowed him to do so. Now, if you've had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home like me, you probably have some ideas about Daniel. I know I certainly did. I'd heard it taught in Sunday school classes many, many times, and I'd heard adult sermons on it. And pretty much I thought of it as a book that showed the power of incredible faith. It was the kind of quintessential adventure story for children in Sunday school as well. You've got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into a fiery furnace, and they come out alive. You have Daniel thrown into the lion's den and he comes out unscathed, and just some amazing stories. And yet this is not a book that says if we walk in faith, we're always going to be delivered, because if that's the message of Daniel, God has some explaining to do, because most people who've been thrown into a fiery furnace come out dead, and most people thrown into a lion's den of hungry lions don't come out alive as well. No, Daniel was not intended ever to be a children's book, adventure book. It's actually an adult primer to how to survive when we find ourselves in a godless situation. And I think nothing applies more than this to the world we live in today. No matter what side of a political spectrum you are, no matter what your outlook is on COVID-19 and all the things that seem to divide us, I think all of us would agree that we are becoming more and more lawless and moving further and further away as a culture from a biblical worldview. And as we find ourselves there, what are the secrets that will help us be able not just to survive, hunker down and make it through the storm, but actually thrive? Now, in the beginning of Daniel, what you need to understand is that it's an autobiography. He's looking back in old age at the way God had worked and what God had done through his life, and he's writing a book about it. And like any author writing a biography, autobiography, or frankly, any story, the beginning pages are very, very important because they set the stage to explain what's going to take place next. And in the first couple of verses of Daniel, he lays down not just the foundation of his life, but the cornerstone of his life. And if we don't understand that, then nothing about his behavior, his actions, and his attitude will make sense. But once we understand it, everything about the way he responded begins to make sense. And the ironic thing is this, in all my years of hearing Daniel taught, I never heard anybody focus on these first couple of verses because they wanted to get on to the adventure story and the rest of it, and I understand. But one day as I was just kind of perusing my way through Daniel and trying to just kind of slowly go through and say, what is this saying here? It leaped out at me. This is so incredibly important to understand the secret of thriving in Babylon. It's a proper view of God. Because Daniel starts out his story this way. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and he besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. And these he carried off to the temple of his god, his demon god, Baal, in Babylon. And he put them in the treasure house of his god to mock the true God. Do you see what this passage is saying? If you got a Bible in front of you, go get one as soon as this is over and take a look at these first couple of verses. And as Chris Brown would like to say, circle, highlight, underline, and the Lord delivered. You see, the Israelites always had this idea, if the wicked kings or empires from somewhere else were to besiege Jerusalem, man, he would take them down. God would protect him. But in this case, God was coming through with exactly what he said he would do. He said, if you walk with me, I'll bless you. If you walk away from me, I'm going to turn you over to other nations for a time of discipline. And that's what was going on here. But God also is faithful to his promise that after that discipline is over, I will restore you. And Daniel says to understand how I behaved and what God did because of it, you need to understand that I knew that in every single situation in life, God is in control of who is in control. It doesn't mean righteousness is in control. It doesn't mean it's what God would want in the long run in control, but it does mean that God is never surprised and things are always happening according to his game plan towards his outcome, which is absolutely guaranteed. And for you and I to thrive in Babylon, one of the things we've got to do is not look around with great angst and great sadness. We need to understand God has placed us here on purpose, on assignment. It's not a mistake. And he's given us everything we need, not just to survive, but to thrive. But we'll never, ever be able to grab hold of that truth until we can step back and understand a more important truth. And that is our God is sovereign and always keeps his word. God is in control of who is in control. And therefore, no matter who that might be, or how things might be going, or how my cultural world might be spinning out of control, I only got to do one thing. I got to ask God, what do you want me to do today? And do it. Because it's not up to me to change the world. It's up to me to obey him. Because he's the one who's in control.